fellow Freedom fans. You're listening to Preservative Talk Radio, brought to you by Freedom Ministries, where we confront the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com. Now let's go to our pre-recorded broadcast. Before I went to break, I was talking about the Second Amendment. Again, this is educational, whether you like it or not. When the issues of the day come up, how are you going to distinguish what matters? A lot of things in the news right now, in the mid-flight entertainment, while our plane is in the nosedive, we have the Petraeus scandal. And it is scandalous, absolutely. It's scandalous the fact that this FBI agent was so near and dear to some of these people, was the one who took action on a report of an email that wasn't necessarily threatening. It was just kind of antagonistic. It seems strange that somebody had exercised the power of their relationship to get the National Federal Bureau of Investigation to be their own personal police power. So those are the kind of weird things that are going on. Well, how do you sort through these issues in the news? What's right? What's wrong? That's why we're here. Liberty Works Radio Network. My job here, I call it Preservative Talk Radio. And so let's just go and educate ourselves. We've got an entire generation who is clueless. I mean, we are. If you're a teenager and you're saying, he's insulting me because he's insulting my education system. No, I am letting you know that somebody has been very deliberately duping you. It occurred to me this morning, I was just taking some time out kind of praying and thinking and just thinking out my day. And it occurred to me about this generation that's upcoming. In the 60s, the generation of teenagers and young adults, they were inspired to stand against the Vietnam War and to get really outspoken about it. And they were really, let's say, going contrary to the culture, being taught to go contrary to the culture. Those who inspired that and then led the education system into duping the entire nation, kind of a fog of non-war, educating us into things that really weren't true, distracting us from those things that are true. So we've got an entire generation who is embracing something that is self-destructive. I think it's time to communicate to the current generation that has literally been duped and introduce them to truth, because what happens when you start to speak truth, a little bell goes off in their very bone marrow. And they go, wait a minute, that's contrary to everything I knew. And you get maybe even get argumentative, but something in there goes ding, 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 ding. We've got the bell of truth. That's why I approach these issues. That's why we're here. We don't know how far down the slippery slope we've gone, but I think it's time. You know what? If you can have an entire, let's say, society roused up into take a proletariat Marxist overthrow of the government just to enslave themselves, what about the possibility of taking an entire generation and inspire to them that which is true, and that they take ownership over their life, their situation, their society and law and government, and actually prosper? Well, I say let's keep up some hope. The Third Amendment. This is the Constitution of the United States. No soldier shall, and we're going to talk about what the background of this is and why it's going to continue to be important in their lifetime. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner. It just occurred to me, what do you do if a soldier comes in your house and says, I'm staying here? Well, if you have your militia weapon, you can say, over your dead body, I guess. Or you could say, you get out. And if they call your bluff and know, well, you love me too much to shoot me, that's a little bit extreme to shoot me because I just want a place to sleep. And they actually have the guts to come on in the house and they call your bluff, you know, it's appropriate. Then what you're supposed to do is go down to the circuit judge or the magistrate and you file a motion, a injunction against the person who just walked in your house. And that judge is supposed to order the sheriff to come get them and pull them out. And you say, this person has violated this amendment. It's self-executing. They don't need to pass a law that says no soldier shall in time of peace go into a house and the penalty is $50,000. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're being injured right now. It's self-executing. You go down to the judge and say, get the sheriff to get this person out of here. You might want to bring 10 of you with him because he's a big person. So that's what you can do. That's the remedy. A no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner. Now, the tough part is, Judge, he wasn't being cooperative. Okay, without the consent of the owner. What's interesting here, it kind of shines light on those situations where you've seen videos or reports or whatever where the policeman comes, knocks on your door, hey, can I come in and see this? And if you say yes, that's a consensual search. You consented that they're coming in and seeing what they could see. So you're consenting to it. So no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner. So they could come up, knock on your door, and say, I'd like to sleep here tonight. The tough part is when the soldier comes up to your door and they've got the automatic rifle, what are you going to say? No? You'd have to have some courage, don't you? But it is true that they could knock on your door because you're like your own government. You have the power to consent to anything there. So it says, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in a house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war even, not even in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. What law? Well, it's one of these things, this is how we discussed this today with some teenagers. I explained that in times of emergency, yes, it may be necessary to house them, but it's going to be up to the Congress to write a law that prescribes it. And the reason that can be, you can only suffer through this little innovation for maybe up the worst case 2 years. Because within 2 years, you can fire everybody in the House of Representatives and 1/3 of those in the Senate. So it's very possible if Congress, in a time of war even, decides, well, hey, it's a time of war. It's important that we have the troops near the front lines to protect you. And so we are going to have troops stay in your house in the following way. In fact, they could probably even prescribe you provide meals for them if you have food in your house. I mean, there's a whole lot of things to be done. Of course, it is tolerable. Absolutely. Because if the people don't like that sort of thing, they can communicate it, not by active armed rebellion, but by firing those in Congress at the next available opportunity. Number here is 888-248-2046. I'm trying to think, where does this happen? I have not seen this. I think there's a lot of people that are concerned about seeing soldiers in inspection locations, safety inspections, and security inspections throughout the country. People are a little bit troubled by that. Well, we're looking for terrorists. Are you? Are we at war? Somebody needs to declare it. So people are concerned right now about some of these things to wonder how much ought the military to be doing as a standing army where you ultimately have a power over the people. So that's a concern that's coming up in the news. You might want to, we'll keep an eye on how that goes. This goes on to the Fourth Amendment. First, second, third, fourth. We haven't covered the first yet. The Fourth Amendment. This is a hot potato. The Fourth Amendment is something that those who are your classic Democrat, old school Republican folks really believe that it doesn't matter how the police obtain evidence as long as they do, and it is against somebody who is a bad guy. Who cares how they got it? That's a way people think. Some very libertine or maybe even people who live a lascivious lifestyle would prefer anything that could be attained as evidence would never be used. So they're all like passionate for the Fourth Amendment. But true conservatism, not fake conservatism, true Christianity holds that the Fourth Amendment is very important. It is a mechanism of authority. That if the government exercises power beyond its authority, it's tyranny, it's unlawful, it's sinful. It's tyrannical, it's wrong. So what are the authorities? A true conservative, a true Christian, would has to consider that ultimately there is one judge, one supreme judge over all men, and nobody gets away with anything. That it's important to protect the least of these who are innocent that innocent blood not be shed, innocent privacy, innocent property, innocent liberty not be disturbed by the power of the sword. It's so important that that be protected, that the men who frame the nation's government put in boundaries so that even the guilty might be let off the hook for a while. Nobody gets away with anything. It's appointed man once to die, then the judgment. It takes, if we want freedom, it's going to take a little bit of faith in that. That it's not up to us to execute God's wrath. Only when it comes out in the public place, and then we have a duty to nip it in the bud so it doesn't pollute society and our children. But if it's done behind closed doors, Sir William Blackstone said, as long as it doesn't come out in the public, it's outside the jurisdiction of the civil government. Your home is your castle, and you are ultimately accountable to God for what you do in that castle. So that's the basis of the Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. Persons, houses, papers, and effects. That includes automobiles. That's property. And you have papers and effects. Against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Now, this is a preamble. It doesn't mean that they've got to have a reasonable reason for checking you out. It's because they don't want it to be unreasonable, there's a standard of not reasonableness, but of probability. So let's see what the threshold's going to be for somebody to inspect or bother, query your person, your house, your papers, and effects. It says no warrants. That would be from, you know, before two or more witnesses. Somebody who wants to search has to go to somebody else and tell them why. They have to show cause why they need permission to bother you. No warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. That's probable. It's not just possible. There's a reasonable possibility. It's a probability. There's a couple of things that are connecting the dots and pointing in one direction. Upon probable cause supported by an oath or affirmation, what does that mean? That means that whoever's making the claim is staking their own jail time, their own bond, their own ability to be sued by you. They're staking their own name on these facts, that they're willing to suffer the penalty that they're accusing you of being subject to. That's the principle of common law upon which this is based. So somebody with probable cause willing to put their own, let's say, property, name, property, and liberty on the line over this, and particularly describing the place to be searched, and the persons or things to be seized. And it used to be, and there's a court case, it's last Boyd versus United States or vice versa, something like that. But it talked about this Fourth Amendment being, you actually don't go and say, well, we think they've been doing bad things, we want to go look around and collect stuff. You actually had to go and say, they've been doing bad things and they have marijuana in this building. We want to confiscate that contraband. Anything else that's there, you're supposed to leave alone. Originally, so that it was felt very strong that the government ought not to be venturing beyond those walls, beyond into that property, that it was that their purpose of government was, even for those who might have contraband, ultimately the goal of government is to protect your life, your liberty, and your property. Everybody's life, liberty, and property. So much so that it would hesitate, even for the sake of law enforcement, it would hesitate to break that threshold and break that valuable thing of property boundary for your sake. David Allen Carmichael, this is Preservative Talk Radio. It's my Faith and Freedom Show, engaging the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com and tune in online at LibertyWorksRadioNetwork.net.